Hello, everybody.
Love Talk Radio.
Here we are once again. Welcome to the K Thompson Live Show. It's 8 o'clock on the 27th of January 2016. We've got a lot of stuff happening, a lot of news. I am the Sun, also known as Eric Payne, and here's our main host, star of the show, my mom, K Thompson.
Thank you. Well, yes, we are going to be starting the show right now. As a matter of fact, yeah, that was a great intro, by the way. Thank you. Thank you very much. Listen, we have a lot to talk about and a lot of things going on, and we are going to. Let's patch him up right away.
Go on,
yes.
Wayne's on. Welcome.
Wayne Gilman, you're on the air. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, good evening. How's everyone?
Good evening. Everything is fine. We were just waiting for you, and they're waiting for me, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm going to start with a story that really is of great interest and also annoyance and anger, and that is the story of the water situation in Flint, Michigan. Now, President Obama, as we know, has declared a federal state of emergency in Flint, Michigan on the 16th of January over the city's drinking water crisis. Now, there's a lot of blame to be around, to go around by everyone, but it starts with the city and state water officials. And this is according to USA Today and 127.16. Now, what had happened is that this went on too long, as I was saying, and then the Environmental Protection Agency got involved. Now, the regional EPA administrators are responsible for Michigan, and they've resigned. A lot of them have resigned. Lots of people should be fired for this one. This is what people are saying, and they are absolutely right. Mistakes were made all around. However, the root cause of Flint's water problems was, according to David Alexander, the Democratic-dominated city government that ran the city into bureaucracy. And then we have the secondary effect of needed cost-cutting measures. Well, this is so full of crap. Let me tell you something. This need not happen. Flint water crisis, you know, because of the fact that people did not do their jobs in Flint, Michigan. Let me tell you what's happening. The percentage of children younger than 5, they have elevated blood lead levels in their bodies. And this is in Flint, Michigan. Before the water source changed, you know, and after the water source, changed, it was 2.4, and then after that, there was 4.9%. Now, this issue isn't going away. Most children have been exposed to high levels of lead, and it didn't need to happen. That is dangerous. So I don't know what's going to be happening, but this is not a story that's not going away, and we should all be very concerned about it, because it could at one point or another happen in New Jersey. A water crisis?
You're talking about the people in Michigan, the city government. I don't think it was the city government per se. Because what happened in Michigan is a lot of states, go back about the history. From what I understand, and that is what was happening in Flint, Michigan, over the last 2 years, is that the governor was taking over a lot of these towns that had gone bankrupt by apparent mismanagement. That's what you were talking about.
Yeah, right.
Right? The Democratic-dominated city government that ran the city into bankruptcy, and then we had the secondary cost-cutting effect. But here's the thing about that. It really wasn't, I don't think, you know, like a lot of cities across the country, there was a financial, you know, the country was in financial ruin pretty much at the end of the Bush presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, and even during the time that George Bush was in office, George Bush 44, a lot of people would walk, everybody walked down the street and noticed that a lot of businesses, a lot of places, areas, I happened to be in Tampa at the time, and there were a lot of areas that weren't doing as well. There was no money to complete jobs and projects and things that were being done. And as we all know, after George Bush left, he left the country. That was hemorrhaging 800,000 jobs a month.
Mm-hmm.
Our deficit was running close to $1.4 trillion, excuse me. So I don't know if the blame can be entirely upon a city that is trying to come back from a recession. Secondly, the water problem, they alerted them to the water problem, and all it was a $100 fix to start making sure that the people that the something could be put in the water to purify it. They neglected to do that. And so we have this situation now. Thirdly, the water they traditionally was getting was from Lake Huron, which is part of the Great Lakes, which has got some of the purest water in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not, and this is per a report that Joy Reid did on, I believe, either Chris Matthews or Rachel last night. That in Huron, they hadn't used water from Flint, Michigan, from that river, since the 70s. So the decision to suddenly change where they were getting the water from, and I think Lake Huron is where they're getting the water. I might have the water sources, but the particular lakes, Flint River was where they're getting, and Lake Huron was where the pure water was. But the situation, the decision to change that when they hadn't been drinking this water since the 70s was entirely, I think, on the state government. And as we talked about last week, I think that there is some other plan to do certain things, because you're trying to basically poison these people, which
that's
is a
right.
city that is predominantly black, and the other cities in Michigan that the governor appointed city managers that superseded the authority of the city government. And I think there was a plan to dismantle the structure of these predominantly African-American cities, which apparently were doing economically bad. And then now, suddenly, this year later, there's a problem with the water.
Exactly.
There's too many things lining up for me. It makes me think that there is another motive. And I don't know if Wayne, you want to...
Go ahead, Wayne.
Okay. First of all, I want to commend you again, Eric, for bringing it to at least to my attention, because I didn't know about this for a while. And the deal is, when you mentioned it about three or four shows ago, you know, I was really taken back by it, but I think you're absolutely right. I mean, if you do the analysis chronologically, you know, the Bush administration was largely responsible for the depletion of FEMA funding. That's why Katrina was like such a big problem when it came time for that crisis to be resolved. And here it is, you had a situation brewing in Michigan, in a largely depressed area. We'd already gone through the abomination that occurred in Detroit. And for them to, and I didn't understand the reasoning to switch from a pure water source as the one of the Great Lakes in this country to a local source made no sense. But that entire Republican administration, the governor on down, should be held accountable. That wouldn't even happen in Forest Hills, Queens. Wouldn't happen in the Hamptons. Wouldn't happen in Montclair. It would not happen anywhere else. You know, to me, I think there is some sort of clandestine activity going on there. I have no empirical evidence, but the speculation could be rampant because of what goes on.
Yeah. But, you know, also, Wayne, according to, you know, the USA Today, the problem is not unique to Flint, because it's occurring all over the USA. The poor families who live in cheap housing, and they've learned that many laws are misapplied, and mostly poor and disenfranchised individuals are hurting. Now, there's nearly 42% of Flint's population that falls under the poverty line. So it's in the black communities, mainly. And then there's a health hazard. There's a percentage of children younger than 5 with elevated blood levels, mainly in Flint, Michigan. And before the water source, they have 2 meters before the water source and then after the water source. And this contaminated water has been going on for a little while. So what is being done about it? The issue is not going away. Many children have been exposed to high levels of lead, and it doesn't have to happen.
The last thing I find, Kay, that's so disconcerting, not to cut you off, is the fact that they're now criticizing local families, the homeowners there, who have refused to pay their water bill. Now, I mean, why would you pay for something that is poisoning you? What has been done to correct this situation, other than people, you know, giving goodwill, entertainers like Cher and others who have contributed to the cause by sending clean water to the bottled water to the area? I mean, you're going to penalize the folks who actually have property in these communities where the water is being fed. because they refused to pay their water bill. I mean, during the height of the economic crisis, I mean, a lot of the properties around the country were underwater. You know, it was bad enough that the poor folks were trying to keep up with the their monthly mortgage payments. But wealthy people, the minute their property values went down, they walked away from their houses. So mm-hmm. show me the difference between that and somebody not paying their bill.
Well, you know, and also, too, you said a very interesting thing, Wayne. You said they have the nerve to want people to pay for their water bill.
Yeah.
I mean, it, clearly, it should be clear to anybody that there is something else going on here. There is no excuse for that. This guy is a Republican governor who seems to have disdain. He said that they're not going to replace all of the pipes, just a few, and have some treatment system going in. So herein lies the problem. They don't care about those people.
Yeah.
They don't care. Remember Kanye West said George Bush doesn't care about black people? And everybody got all shook up because he spoke the truth as he saw it? Because George Bush let black people twist in the wind for a work week? A work week is 5 days. Rick Flipner, Rick Snyder, the governor of Michigan, Eric Payne is saying that you don't care about black people. I'll go as far as to say you must have an issue with trying to make sure they do bad. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because clearly this man, if you were concerned about it, he would have paid attention to the email from one of his top officials who said, we need to take care of this because the impression can be given that we are blowing these people off.
Exactly.
And it wasn't until this doctor, I forget her name, took it on herself to test the water and understand that it was unacceptable and that these, and she said it herself, if you wanted to bring down a people, this is how you can do it. Because the generational effects of these kids, and now he has the nerve, or maybe it's a good move to ask that these kids be allowed to get Medicaid for the lasting health problems, which is okay, that's fine, that's after the fact. You need to do everything you can to make sure of that. And since Barack Obama has been elected president of the United States, in my opinion, there seems to have been a concerted effort by certainly individuals, if not a coordinated effort, to do things. We have a rise of black men, people getting shot. We have all of these hate issues going on.
Yeah.
And since President Obama has been elected, it seems as though, and I'm one that I know I've been talking about, we're just able to see these issues. Because of technology now, we're able to see these things more. I don't think it's any more than it was. But maybe that's what's got us so infuriated, because we're able to see for ourselves what is trying to be done to people.
I think it has been planned. I really do. I think it has been planned. And, you know, it's been really damaging children. And for goodness sakes, you know, the governor's name is Snyder. I think it is Snyder. The issue isn't going away. It's there. And these kids have to live with it, and you never can tell what kind of extra diseases that's going to be happening in their little bodies. I think people should get together, and they should sue the local government and the state government because of the fact that they are actually committing crimes. Okay, and they're committing crimes to one segment of the population, and that's African-American, you know, population there. Yes, there's some white there, but mainly it's aimed at poor people, and poor people in the majority are black, okay? But anyway, everybody deserves to have clear water. And if these people can't do it, what they need to do is go to jail. Okay?
Well, I certainly think he needs to be impeached. They should work for
impeachment.
I can see that there's some lawyers probably that are seeing a case to be brought there.
Sure.
But, you know, when you put people's kids in jeopardy, that's when, you know, you cross all lines. That's when it's time. Some people kick your butt.
That's right.
You know, and I'm not advocating, you know, violence against elected officials or whatever, you know. But, you know, that's the type of issues that make people make people get upset.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting people's lives in jeopardy with a disdain that you have after the fact. And all you got to do is look at this guy's actions. I'm talking about how in America can a governor decide to appoint someone manager of an entire democratically elected city government and say that they're going to take over and the people that were elected by the people there don't get any responsibility. But I have a guest on the line now who can really talk about why it's necessary to have elected officials there. Go ahead, Congressman Payne, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Can you hear it?
Thank you.
How are you doing, Congressman?
I'm fine. Thank you, Kay.
Good. What's going
on
in
Michigan? Congressman, how are you?
What did you say?
Excuse me.
No, I just said good evening to the congressman.
So, Congressman, we're talking about... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's Wayne Gilman, the other co-host, Congressman.
Oh, Mr. Gilman, good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, too.
Congressman, we were talking about, I don't know if you heard the tail end of that, about Flint, Michigan. What are your, you know, we talked about stuff a little bit, but what are your, what's your thoughts about the situation of Flint, Michigan?
Well, it's very disturbing what has transpired there. You know, people have talked about the issue around water quality, and its safety for quite some time, and you know, is not an infinite source or resource. And so eventually one day that there would be issues around water. I didn't expect it to be in my lifetime, but I mean, here we are, and it's a frightening thing. This is really very eye-opening in terms of, you know, who dropped the ball and really put all these people in this circumstance and have potentially damaged an entire generation of young people in a community. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about the source of water, and let's, because I have seen news stories and on TV and in print about water being an issue in parts of the world, you know, the scarcity of water, what pollution is doing, and that water actually, they project in this one particular article, they were projecting that water is going to be a serious commodity for people to try and come by because it's scarce in certain parts of the world and what we're doing to the environment. What are your thoughts about it? Have you, from a broader scale, have you heard anything about that the scarcity of water in the world on top of the situation here in Flint?
Well, you know, naturally there's discussion about it all the time in different articles. You know, as I stated, I didn't expect this to happen in my lifetime. I knew that, you know, one time at some point, water, there was going to be a scarcity. But, you know, to have it, the issue right here in the forefront and sitting here now, and this has to do with water quality, this issue. And, you know, it's just frightening, and it's a lot of responsibility. People don't understand, you know, when you're an elected official, the responsibility that you have for the community, for the city, for the municipality, the state, or the country, the responsibility that you have taken on. You are responsible for the quality of life for whatever the number is, whoever you represent. And, you know, I've always taken it very seriously. It's a very overwhelming and humbling thought that, you know, when I became a councilman in the city of Newark, that all of a sudden, you know, 290,000 people's lives were my responsibility and their quality of life and things, their safety. And so... is overwhelming, and you know, when I became a freeholder or a county commissioner, that there were 8 million people's lives my responsibility. So you know, I have this little ritual I go through every time I get elected to my next office, and I sit in the office the first day and say, "What did I get myself into?" So, you know, and every time I turn around, now member of Congress, 700,000 people's lives, you know, are my responsibility and that I'm representing. Like, what did I get myself into? But yeah, this water circumstance is very frightening.
Congressman, if I might, and first of all, you've done a commendable job in, you know, following the footsteps of your dad and all that. But when I juxtapose the situation going out there in Michigan and the way the governor came on and held a news conference and said that he was sorry, you know, to me, I just felt, as you just pointed out, it's about constituency services. When you're an elected official, you have a tremendous responsibility. I don't think just saying you're sorry is enough in this particular situation. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with you. You know, initially he was a bit aggressive too, in you know, kind of his stance initially. You know that you know, hey, don't get off my back. But then, in watching this thing get exposed, then he, you know, he changed his tune to he's sorry. I really, based on what he knew about it and the length of time he knew about it, I'm sure that'll all come out. It's really criminal.
Yeah.
What has transpired here, it's criminal. So, I mean, you know, I think, you know, the federal government should be looking at this, the Attorney General, and to see, you know, where the responsibility lie. So.
Yeah, and you know,
the governor should be impeached or arrested.
Exactly.
If he knew about if he knew, depending on when he knew about it.
Yeah. Also, Congressman, you know, President Obama is will assign an emergency manager, I understand, to take over the job of Governor Rick Snyder. And this article that's in the USA Today says, the person who wrote it says that Snyder has not proved the incompetence. He has proved his incompetence. It's really among the letters of the USA
Today.
Yes, a letter written to USA Today. As the people are thinking about it all over the country. But to, you know, think in terms of you not having enough water we take for granted. And to think that some elected official, you know, has no real feelings about it being spoiled or not the kind of water that you want for your child, for your family. That is outrageous. This is a new, brand new era. Now, what in the world can the average American do about? Do you have any ideas on that?
And just to clarify, that was a letter written to USA Today by a person. It initially came off like it was a fact, but that was a letter written by a person from Michigan about what the president should do.
And that person was right. That's why I chose that. Mm-hmm. So, Congressman, what are your other thoughts about it? What can be done?
Well, I think that, you know, this will definitely bring the whole issue of water quality and the potential scarceness of water at some point in time in this country's history, bring it to the forefront, and people need to start discussing it and you know, kind of come up with solutions to the problem. You know, I think over the long run, you know, this country has always been able to face issues that arise and come up with solutions. And, you know, it definitely has to be done in this circumstance. You know, there's a lot of new technology around desalination of seawater. So if that is something that can become a normal part of the process in getting water, then, you know, the oceans are fairly fairly full, so that could be a real answer to it. The desalination of salt water, and I think there probably be more aggressive moves afoot now with this happening to look at all of those options.
But in the meantime, you know, there are kids who are probably now even suffering from some illness or another. When we see the color of that water, you know, in bottles, that brownish quality, that brownish color, it's not pure water, I would imagine. So I wonder what's going to be happening to these young kids, you know, when they're trying to study in school, how it's going to affect them, what's going to be done about it, and why is it only, I don't even know this for a fact, but why is it really we're only hearing about it from one different community, from one of the communities in Flint? Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't,
no. Congressman, do you think homeowners should be penalized for not paying their water bill in that area?
Not at all. And I think the mayor has approached the state government in reference to that. And I believe I heard today that the governor has put aside $3 million to reimburse people in Flint for the time that they paid those water bills. The mayor did not think that they should, as you say, be penalized. Penalty enough is using the water to compound it in terms of having to pay for it as well is like double jeopardy. So the mayor, in her wisdom, went to bat for her constituents, and you know naturally the governor agreed and put the $3 million set aside in the budget for just that reimbursement.
Wow!
And Congressman, if I was just curious because there was a depletion of funding at FEMA during the Bush years, and I don't want to catch you off guard, but do you know if Obama's ability to, like, restore a lot of the funding that FEMA had, is it still there, considering all the problems that we've had, like Hurricane Sandy and the like and all that?
Yeah, I think the president is on top of that in terms of, you know, emergency needs. I couldn't give you a specific answer off the top of my head sitting here, but you know, the experience of going through Sandy you know has definitely made the president aware of the need to be ready for natural disasters and you know making sure that people in America are taken care of during those issues. So I couldn't give you a number offhand, but I know it's something that going through that experience has put it on the forefront of his mind. So,
right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, the work that you guys are doing to make sure that things like that, I'm talking about you guys being the Democrats, making sure that the average American has those very basic services is really important, Congressman. While we have you on the phone, you know, this being the last year of the Barack Obama's presidency, can you give us your assessment about, you know, how you feel about serving with him and the job that he's done, and also a little bit about the State of the Union, since we have you here to speak about that?
Yeah.
Well, I think that all things being equal, that President Obama, they should make room on Mount Rushmore for President Obama. He has, under fire, done more for this country without any help than I've ever seen. I mean, you know, he saved the car industry. I heard that, you know, this last year they had their best year ever. They were about to go down the tubes when he arrived in the White House. The stock market, even though it's been fluctuating a bit over the last week or two, is higher than it's ever been. So if that's something that's important to you, he's giving you record highs during his administration. The banking industry, unfortunately, we had too big to fail, and that is something, you know, under his watch as well, didn't happen. And, you know, unfortunately, maybe some of them should have failed. But if that's what's important to you, then he's helped there. Healthcare, we all know what he's done in terms of the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
Eight presidents before him tried to deal with health care.
Mm-hmm.
And this president was able to do something. Just an amazing presidency. I thank God that I was fortunate enough to serve in the 112th Congress, Congress that my father served in as well. So we both served in Congress while Barack Obama was president. And so that's a great honor for me. He's just been incredible under the circumstances and the climate in which he finds himself. And can you imagine what he would have been able to accomplish if he had had anyone willing to compromise with him?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
I mean, they blind.
History is going to be very kind to this president.
You know, I was quoting some facts today. I saw a press conference with Bernie Sanders after he came out of the meeting with the president, and he gave him the props, you know, saying that things were that were accomplished over the last 7 years. You know, we were. I said it before; I'll say it again. We were losing 800,000 jobs a month at the end of the Bush presidency. Our deficit was the largest in our history, in this country's history, at $1.4 trillion. And so we were really on the brink. And you know, it's interesting that nobody seems to want to remember that. You know, we see these debates, obviously they're going to spin it the way they can. But it's really interesting that everybody wants to act like those accomplishments haven't been done. And even when you talk about they want to present him as being soft in his foreign policy, well, he was the one who got Osama bin Laden. George Bush was the one who said he didn't really think about it. When you see the disrespect that he's received, like, for instance, the State of the Union address, I happen to notice how, first off, you notice that the Republicans really aren't going to get up and clap for anything, even when he says, you know, something like, America's got the greatest fighting force in the world. That's something that you would assume that everybody could clap. You know, that's kind of a rah-rah statement, but still and yet, you know, they refuse. And the expression on Paul Ryan's face as he's sitting behind the president, just such contempt.
Yeah, yeah.
And not even respect for the office. And it's just really, and you've seen it firsthand, obviously. What are some of the things that really kind of you find the most disrespectful or maybe surprising for that level of government that you found really surprising?
Well, I mean, you know, lately I've been in my speeches or conversations with people, and a lot of it's been around, you know, the season around Dr. King's birthday and his legacy. And I've given about 3 or 4 speeches in terms of Dr. King. And I talk about A Tale of Two Cities, and you know how this starts out. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times.
Yeah.
And I think that's how I look at what's happening with you know, this country under President Obama's tenure. here we have a situation where a African-American male was able to capture the country's imagination, have them believe in him enough to make him president of the United States. So what does that say to me as a child of America, being African-American, who's seen a lot of prejudice and racism and bigotry, been exposed to it? It says that the words in the Constitution and the words in the Declaration of Independence really can ring true. So that is a major accomplishment. But then you have the other side where you see the bigotry and the disdain for an African-American male who rises to that level. And what it has bubbled to the surface once again, you know, when people were telling African-Americans over the last two decades, oh, you're too sensitive, come on, you know, those days are over, why are you hanging on to that? You know, you need to stop whining about that, it's over. And then President Obama comes along, and you see that it's not over, that it's just under the surface, and it's bubbled up. And the people's contempt for the president has made it really come to the forefront. So it's the best of times, and it's the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to make sure that, you know, we hold the president in high esteem. We speak out when need be. We support him. You know, you can disagree with his politics, but I mean, you know, he's been called everything but a child of God. And, you know, I've saw one press, interaction where a member of Congress almost used the N word. He caught himself. So, this country still has a long way to go. And, you know, in one way, I'm glad that President Obama has been there. So it has flushed this bigotry out. And, you know, at least we know where it's coming from and what's going on with it. And we need to deal with it.
Look at that.
So this was a member of Congress that you heard speaking, and you were there hearing him speak, and he was on the floor, or where, I mean, I'm not going to ask you who it was because.
Well,
you know.
No, actually, well, I don't even remember who it was. It was actually a news clipping. He was somewhere in a hallway giving an interview, and it almost came out of his mouth, and I was shocked. But I mean,
wow.
You know, they have really been disrespectful to this president, and it's unacceptable, I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
It saddens me to see him go. I wish he could serve another term. You know, the political landscape now, it's just, to me, it's going to be so, I don't know. I mean, it's like we're going to lose something. Not just because of his oratorical skills, but we're just going to lose a sense of balance with his departure, I feel. And, you know, I'm hoping that a Democrat gets back in there. But, you know, he has done so much. You know, it seems like anyone else who would replace him right now would pale in comparison.
Yeah.
Forgive the pun, since they're all white. Except for Carson.
What worries me is that, you know, normally it is a situation where the presidency goes back and forth from Republican to Democrat, Democrat to Republican hands. So I'm hoping we break that cycle.
Right.
And a Democrat can win again. But, you know, normally after a Democrat has served for the 8 years, there's been a Republican to replace him. And then it goes, you know, vice versa. It goes back and forth. So hopefully we can break that cycle and have one of the Democratic candidates win.
Or we could get an extra four like they got after Ronald Reagan when they got George Bush was elected for that four-year time span. Talking about Bush 41. Bill Clinton. Let me just ask you about Donald Trump. What are your thoughts about the Donald Trump candidacy a little bit? And just because you talked about Barack Obama being such a good person and getting this and really the way he carries himself. And then you got Donald Trump. So what do you think and also what he's doing, what his effect on the Republican Party?
Well, Donald Trump, I feel, is a scary figure in terms of potentially how he would preside as president. The way he became popular in this whole thing or got noticed was talking about building a wall to keep Mexicans out of this country. And if that's where you're starting from, can you imagine where you're going?
Right.
And you know, this is another example of what I said about that bigotry and racism just bubbling under the surface. Obviously, he's appealing to a large swath of Americans in this country. And, you know, first it was the wall and the Mexicans, you know, are rapists. Then the next thing is, well, you know, we need to keep all Muslims out until we figure out what's going on here. And every time he makes one of these racist statements or proposes it, his numbers go up. So, you know, it's once again a situation where he's playing to the lowest common denominator in this country and people's prejudices and fears. And you know, for a long time I thought it was a joke, you know, how long he could last. You know, every week we'd say, well, next week, you know, what, next week they'll wake up, next week the American people will come, you know, how long can he do this? He can only hold on to this for so long. Guess what? it looks like he ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Republican Party is starting to kind of accept that he potentially is going to be the Republican nominee. It's another scary circumstance to think that Trump would be president. I told somebody I had to move to Liberia.
That's a very poignant observation that you make, because really what put him out there, really got him all the attention, is what he said about building a border, building a wall against Mexicans. That's really got him the attention of these very extreme conservatives. I'm also saw a news report just last night about there's a lot of white supremacist groups that are supporting him and doing robocalls and white nationalist movement. And you even had the a state senator in South Carolina who was mad when Nikki Haley was running for governor, was talking about one of her people wearing the traditional wrap that some of the Indians of that culture wear, and one of the other people having the dot on their forehead. And this gentleman, and they have footage of this guy, saying, "We have a raghead in Washington, we don't want a raghead in South Carolina." Of course, the guy, he didn't get reelected, but it was when Nikki Haley was running for governor, so she just got elected governor within the last, three or four years. So it just goes to show you, with such impunity, that they're willing to speak up and express these things. And as you said, it's bubbled to the surface when Barack Obama Barack Obama got elected, you know, people started throwing around we're a post-racial society.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit to everybody that I kind of was like, well, what's going to be our identity, black people? You know, for years, you know, civil rights, the movements and the rights of black people, we always had that. And that's pretty much a large part of our identity, the struggle, the oppression that we face. And I kind of like, wow, what's going to change with the psyche of black people if our country has finally reached this point where it's accepting enough to have a black man representing as the figurehead of the country? Well, those good old folks, they brought me back to reality, and they saved they saved me from thinking that we're going to lose our identity, because our constant fight for our liberty and equal rights is still there. And I'm doing this tongue-in-cheek, but it's unfortunate that it is. But it is something that it's literally passed down through the generations, from our grandparents to our parents to us and to the next generation. And we always have to continue to fight against this oppression. And as we wind down, we got like 13 minutes. I also want to ask you about Governor Christie and his kind of very flip remarks up in New Hampshire the other day, when the young lady asked him about, why are you here when there's flooding? And, you know, I heard you give some interview when we were in Washington after the State of the Union about your thoughts on Governor Christie. What do you think about these particular remarks and his response in the wake of the weather and him going off on the campaign trail?
Well, it's quintessential Christie. You know, at some point in time, he's going to say something, you know, that he thinks is clever, funny, or bullyish, or, you know, he just can't help himself. That's how he's made himself famous. That's how people look at him and admire that. And so he's going to continue to do it. I see he's been kind of backtracking about the mop issue now that so many people in North Wildwood were upset about it. But now he's backtracked a little in terms of the statements in reference to the mop. You know, people's whole homes were wiped out. They need more than a mop. They need assistance from their government. You know, that's another one that I thought that, you know, his shtick couldn't last that long, and, you know, it would catch up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, was I wrong. Here he is 7-8 years later, and he's still at it. So, you know, he's an embarrassment, and I've told people that. And I've apologized for the state of New Jersey sending someone like that to be a candidate for president. So I apologize to people in Washington for Christie. But I, you know, he's not the only one that can play that game. I
mm-hmm.
think he's been a disgrace. And to call a president, you know, I had heard a few things, but then I heard him call the president a petulant child. First thing I had to do, it sounded bad, but I had to go look up petulant and see what that meant. It didn't sound good when he said it, and coming from the source, I knew it wasn't a compliment. But I actually had to go ask Siri for the definition of petulant. I mean, how dare he call the president of the United States a petulant child? I mean, this man is out of control, just absolutely out of control. And then last week talked about he's going to kick his butt out of the White House.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how dare he? So I have, you know, on C-SPAN, I made it clear that, you know, he's an embarrassment, and you know, the president is the president of the United States, and you know, I'm going to continue to speak out about it. And two can play that game if he wants. He claims he's born in Newark, so that gives him some type of credibility. You know, I was born in Newark. Well, guess what? So was I. And, you know, Tuca can play this game if he wants to get into, you know, to see who can say the worst thing about a person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to be pretty good at the dozen, so, I mean, you know, if he wants to play, let's play. And I'm really serious about it, you know.
Oh, it's on now.
Yeah, I would hate to see you lower yourself to that standard. I mean, I coming from Bed-Stuy, you know, I mean, it's sad that it comes down to that, but sometimes that's the only way you can resonate with people like Christie and Trump and all the others who are a similar personality.
Well, with
absolutely.
Christie, we have a question for Christie. Can you say GWB?
Oh, yeah.
GWB, George Washington Bridge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to play parody.
Well, and I believe that court case is about to start in the next few weeks.
Oh, really? It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. So the timing of it is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there.
I just have one last question. Do you think Trump should face this debate tomorrow night?
I know. You know what? I mean, I think he's really being immature, you know, because he doesn't like the interviewer, this young lady who's given him a difficult time in the past. For some reason Donald Trump feels that you know, he shouldn't be challenged on anything, or he's not going to do it because she wasn't nice to him. Are you kidding me? You run into the presidency of the United States, and you can't handle the pressure of some questions?
Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
He also said he'd like to see her on her knees. Okay?
See, that's...
See her on her knees.
Well, he said it about somebody. She asked him the question at the debate, and she asked him the question at the debate. Said you've been commented on saying about one of the people on the Apprentice. She'd like to see her on her knees. I don't know if he might have said that about Megyn Kelly as well, but one of the big issues at that first debate was that when he asked that particular question. She brought up a series of things that he had said about women.
About women, right.
And also said about one of the contestants on The Apprentice, he'd like to see her on her knees. So I don't know if he actually said that about her as well.
I heard it.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm. Well, to answer Wayne's question is, I think he's immature and weak for not going. But I like what he's doing to Fox News. Here's a group of people that are willing to say whatever they want about people they don't agree with politically, be very derogatory, but they're going to tiptoe around this guy. And if that was anyone else, they'd be hammering him for not showing up and this and that. But for some reason, they're tiptoeing around him. So. I just like seeing Fox News in this predicament and how they handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very interesting.
And lastly, what are your thoughts? Because I wrote the description of the show on our little page, so we discussed Flint, Trump, and if you have any questions, any thoughts about the Oscars, that whole situation. Since we have.
Well, I sent a press release out a concern about what's going on in terms of the Oscars, and I'm supporting the boycott. I think in this day and time that several movies I've seen in the past month or two warrant some recognition of several actors that I've seen. that's something my children and I enjoy. When I get to come home with them, we go to the movies, and so we've seen a few. And I think there are some performances that warrant recognition. So I'm supporting the boycott.
Hear, hear, me too.
My assessment about that, which I think is really one of the things that turned kind of lessened my passion for the entertainment business, is that it seemed to be a place where a lot of times a bunch of rich people get together and want to slap each other on the back. And secondly, just because of this Oscar situation, you know, they're a reflection of the larger culture, and I think that there's so many more important things for individuals to get involved in boycotting. That is great, but we got to understand that they're a reflection of the dominant culture, a culture that treats the first black president the way it has, a culture that produces Donald Trump. So it's no surprise to me that the Oscars has turned out that way. Although, you know, someone like Jada brings up a great point. Everybody knows she's telling the truth. She weakens her point because the only time she decided to speak up was when her husband was not nominated for an Oscar. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. We want to thank you for calling in. I say we're proud of the job that you're doing.
You're here.
And keep up the good work.
Okay, Congressman.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for
here.
Having me.
We'll have you again.
Okay.
Soon, I hope. Okay?
It's all always right? an honor.
All right. All right.
Have a good night.
Good night. Yeah.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And Wayne Gilman, what do you say?
It's always an honor to have him, and I think he said a mouthful with respect to every issue we questioned him on. And, and I'm glad we're able to get him about the Oscars as well, because all that's, like, there's a common thread with everything. The politics, entertainment, the mood of the temperament of the American people, you know. And he hit it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, for me, like I was saying, I just think that the, you know, the issue, comparatively speaking, you know, and I kind of had a sense that Jada Pinkett probably is involved in the community, and she probably does a lot of things for the community that we don't know about. So I temper the remarks. But, however, there's so many more important things. We have people that can't have no drinking water.
Yeah.
And so at a time like that, you know, just because you didn't get an award to a show that you know, it's not like we don't know what the Oscars are. It's not like we don't know what goes on in this country. To me, it was so many more other more important things, and experiencing how disrespectful people have been to the public. So I just thought that was something that really, you know, was pale in comparison to the very serious issues that we have going on in this country. But it is truthful, and it's worth warranting paying our attention to. And as we come to the close of this show, once again, time flew by. I want to say thank you to Congressman Donald Payne, who took the time out to call in and spent quite a bit of time with us covering these subjects. We want to remind everybody to listen to us every Wednesday at 8 to 9 p.m. live on the Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/KThompsonLive. You can also listen to the show archive. So I'm the son, Eric Payne. Mr. Gilman, you want to sign off there?
Thank you very much for having me again.
Thanks, Wayne.
Absolutely, as always. And, Ma, you are the last word. Thanks,
and
Wayne.
Join us every Wednesday. Kate Thompson Live at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Eric. We will talk again next week, everyone.
All right. Listen to us next week, folks. Then we'll get a little bit further into the Oscars and things like that. And bye-bye. Yeah. So.
Good show. Very good.